Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back. This is Pastor Vince, and today we're going to be starting a new class, a new lesson on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to be starting off with the introduction, and then we'll jump right into the course. Introduction. During one of his missionary trips, the Apostle Paul questioned a group of believers about the Holy Spirit, and he asked if they had received the Holy Spirit since they believed. Now their answer was, "We have not so much as heard as whether there be any Holy Ghost." And that was in Acts 19:2. And Paul shared the message of the ministry of the Holy Spirit with these Christians in Acts 19. Today, it's equally important that believers understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because God promised, according to Acts 2:17, it says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." So the fact that God is willing at this time to pour out his Spirit, his Holy Spirit upon us, makes this study important. We must understand that the ministry of the Holy Spirit in order to be a part of the special revelation of the power of God. The study of the Holy Spirit is one of the major doctrines of the Bible. A doctrine is all the teachings which relate to a particular subject. Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:13, "Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." So it's not enough that through natural powers of man that God moves in our world. It is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." So this course examines the nature and personality of the Holy Spirit, and it discusses the titles given to the Holy Spirit and emblems which represent him, which both reveal much about his ministry. The purposes, gifts, and fruits of the Holy Spirit are examined in detail. Practical guidelines are given for experiencing the baptism of the Holy Spirit and identifying spiritual gifts and developing the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the course objectives for the whole course are this. Upon completion of this course, you're going to be able to describe the personality of the Holy Spirit. You're going to be able to list various names and titles of the Holy Spirit. You'll be able to identify the emblems representing the Holy Spirit. You'll be able to describe the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You'll be able to explain how to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're going to list and define the gifts of the Spirit. You'll identify your spiritual gifts, identify the fruit of the Spirit, identify the works of the flesh, and develop the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. Chapter 1, Introducing the Holy Spirit. The objectives of this particular lesson are this. Upon completion of this chapter, you're going to be able to identify the Holy Spirit as part of the Trinity of God. You're going to be able to list the personality traits of the Holy Spirit and explain the nature of the Holy Spirit. Our key verses today are found in Matthew 3:16 through 17, and it says this, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And again, that was Matthew 3:16 through 17. Introduction. This chapter introduces the Holy Spirit, and it explains his position in the Trinity of God. It discusses his personality traits and warns about his sensitive nature. As previously noted, the title Holy Ghost is used to identify the Holy Spirit. The personal pronoun, he, is also used, as the Holy Spirit is one of three persons of the Trinity of God. Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit as he. Jesus said in John 15:26 that he shall speak of me. In John 16:7, it says, "And I will send him unto you." In John 16:14, it says, "And he shall glorify me." And in John 16:13, it says, "He shall not speak of himself." the triune nature of God. There are many gods worshipped throughout the world, but there's only one true God. The Holy Bible contains the story of this true God. The Bible is the Word of God, which reveals His special plan for all mankind. One of the things the Bible reveals is that God has a triune nature. This means His personality is revealed in three different forms. He is three persons, yet one God. The Holy Spirit is part of the triune nature of God, which consists of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. The three personalities are united as one in the Godhead. Each part of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, who is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, have special functions on behalf of mankind, and this course concerns the ministry and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called God. In Acts 5:3-4, it says, "But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." So since he is called God, the Holy Spirit is equal with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. The key verse of this chapter reveal clearly that the triune nature of God is that Jesus is being baptized by the Holy Spirit who descends upon him, and God speaks this. He says in Matthew 3:16-17, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So prior to returning to heaven after his ministry on earth, Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit. In John 15:26, it says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." As a small side note, it says, "As the study of God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son is given in a separate Harvest Time International course called Spiritual Strategies. An outline for the study of God and Jesus is also provided in the four further study section of this chapter." The Apostle Paul spoke of the triune nature of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:2-3, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." And he goes on to say, "For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for the sin condemned sin in the flesh." In 2 Corinthians 13:14, it says, "And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all." And in Ephesians 2:18, it says, "For through him, the Son, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." The Apostle Peter also spoke of the triune nature of God. And he said in 1 Peter 4:14, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." And the book of Acts also verifies the triune nature of God. In Acts 2:33, it says, "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear." So the following diagram in your book illustrates the triune nature of God. So there are three personalities. We have God the Father, we have Jesus Christ, who is the Son, and the Holy Spirit, yet they are all one. The nature of the Holy Spirit. As part of the Trinity of God, the Holy Spirit has a special nature. When we speak of his nature, we mean the basic qualities which describe him. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is, one, omnipresent. This means he is everywhere at once. In Psalms 139:7, it says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence?" He's omniscient, which means that he knows all things. In 1 Corinthians 2:10-11, it says, But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Holy Spirit of God. He's omnipotent. This means the Holy Spirit is all-powerful. In Psalms 62:11, it says, God have spoken once, and twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. And in Acts 1:8 it says, but ye shall receive power after that that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He's eternal. This means he is everlasting. He has no beginning and will have no ending. In Hebrews 9:14 it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So the eternal nature of the Holy Spirit can be illustrated really by a circle. The circle has no starting or ending points, yet it exists. The personality of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is part of the triune nature of God, but the Holy Spirit also has an individual personality. And the Bible reveals that the Holy Spirit, one, he has a mind. In Romans 8:27 it says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. He searches out the human mind. In 1 Corinthians 2:10 it says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. He has a will. In 1 Corinthians 12:11 it says, but all these worketh the one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. The will of the Holy Spirit guides believers by denying permission for certain actions. We found an example of that in Acts, the 16th chapter, verses 6 through 7. It says this, that when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, and after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So the will of the Holy Spirit also guides believers by granting permission. In Acts 16:10 it says, and after he had seen a vision immediately, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, gathering that the Lord has called for us to preach the gospel unto them. The Holy Spirit speaks. In Acts 8:29, it says that he spoke to Philip. It says that when the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. He spoke to Peter. In Acts 10:19, it says, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. He spoke to the elders in the city of Antioch in Acts 13:2. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Revelations chapter 2 and 3 record several messages spoken by the Holy Spirit to the seven churches of Asia. Also, the Holy Spirit loves. In Romans 15:30, it says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. He intercedes. One of the personality traits of the Holy Spirit is that he is an intercessor. That means he prays to God on the behalf of others. In Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or spoken. Now we're going to talk about the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a sensitive nature. This means he has feelings that can be affected by the actions of man. Because of the sensitive nature of the Holy Spirit, the Bible warns that we should not, first off, lie to the Holy Spirit. In Acts 5, 3-4, it says, but Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Thou hast not lied unto me, but unto God. resist the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has specific ministries on behalf of the believer, which will be discussed in chapter 3 of this course. But resisting the Holy Spirit is not yielding to him when he tries to minister in your life. In Acts 7:51, it says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye." You can quench the Spirit. You quench the Holy Spirit when you refuse to do what the Holy Spirit would have you to do. The word quench is used elsewhere in the Bible to reference to putting out a fire. So when you quench the Holy Spirit, it stops the flow of his power within you. It's like throwing water on a fire. The Bible warns in 1 Thessalonians 5:19 to quench not the Spirit. We also can grieve the Spirit. Quenching the Holy Spirit is not doing what the Holy Spirit would have us to do, and grieving the Holy Spirit is not doing something the Holy Spirit does not want us to do. The nation of Israel grieved the Holy Spirit. In Psalms 78:40, it says, "How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert?" The Bible warns in Ephesians 4:30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." You can insult the Spirit. You insult the Holy Spirit by going back into sin after you've experienced forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 10:29, it says, "Oh, how much sore punishment suppose ye that ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he hath sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the grace, the Spirit of grace." And in it also says here that, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." And that's found in Hebrews 6:4-6. You can blaspheme the Holy Spirit. "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." And that's Matthew 12:31-32. So the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit has been called the unpardonable sin because, according to this passage, it is the one sin for which there is no forgiveness. To blasphemy means to speak abusive words which reject the power of the Holy Spirit as being of God and claim it as of Satan. If a person totally rejects the power of the Holy Spirit, then he can never be saved because it is the Holy Spirit which draws sinful men to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit produces many visible, confirming signs of God's power. Jesus was saying that if a person could not accept these miraculous signs as proof of the truth of the gospel, then what could ever possibly convince them to believe? You can also vex the Holy Spirit. To vex the Holy Spirit means to irritate, to annoy, to provoke, or make angry. The Holy Spirit is vexed by the disobedience and unbelief of mankind. The prophet Isaiah records what happened to God's people, Israel, when they vexed the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah 63:10, it says, "But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them." That's it for this lesson. Go ahead and do your chapter self-test and join me in the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.